Open your Bibles up, Matthew chapter 5, 13th verse. The sun still shines. It's funny that this verse came to be. I have never professed to be anything of a storied sermon writer. I just kind of flail along doing my own thing, waiting on whatever encouragement's going to be. And this verse found its way to me after the sermon title did. And I thought, God, you are too cool. Chapter 5, verse 13-20. Verse 13, Jesus speaking, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Will you please pray? Father, set aside our hearts, set aside our labor. Make us ready for this message. Let these words come from you through me. They're not mine. That we would be strengthened for them, that we would be able to walk out into the world knowing it was good to have been here, prepared to meet with what comes to us, carrying your light, your Son, as an example. We all pray this together in Jesus' name. All of us said, amen. All righty. Need a helper. Come here, boy. You take this in. Now, I won't tell you what my grandfather calls that in. You know what he calls that in? That's the dumb end. Start walking. Keep going. Keep going. Almost. Whoop. A little more. A little more. A little more. A little more. Whoop. Right there. Stop and stand still. You see what this distance is between me and him? That's 25 feet. Now I want you to study it for a moment. I need you to get this in your mind. That is 25 feet. Okay? You get that? In 1901, it was still 25 feet. Let me have that in. There, over here. Come on up here, boy. In 1901, that was still 25 feet. A man named Peter O'Connor, in the year 1901, jumped 24 feet, 11 and 3 quarters inch in one jump. A lot of things happened in 1901. In 1901, President William McKinley died from pneumonia. President Buchanan was shot. President Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, became president. All of this going on in 1901. We have been working so hard here lately. These messages have been just coming down the line and beating on us. And that's good, because at times you need to get beat on. You need to get your toes stomped. But today's message, let's relax. Breathe in. Let's have a little fun this morning. Let's talk about the year 1901 and what it may have been. The first Nobel Prize ceremony was held in Stockholm 5 years after Alfred Nobel's death. Queen Victoria died at 81 after 63 years as a queen. That's a long time. U.S. Steel was incorporated by J.P. Morgan in the first billion-dollar corporation. New York State becomes the first to issue, 1901, becomes the first to issue license plate. Peter O'Connor of Ireland jumped 24 feet, 11 inches and 3 quarters, and that record stood for 20 years. Now let's talk about jumping that far. I ain't doing it. If you strapped a rocket to my back and put me on skis with a ramp, I still don't think I'd go 25 feet.
He ran and jumped. Vice President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt uttered that famous phrase, "I love it, speak softly, and carry a big stick." I think my father said that to me a lot. In Michigan, Annie, and I love this one, Michigan school teacher in 1901, Annie Edson Taylor, I really want to try this, goes over Niagara Falls in a barrel and lives to tell about it. Does anybody remember that? I'm only picking on you. Augustus Dieter is first examined by German physicist Dr. Alois Alzheimer and became the diagnosis that we would know as Alzheimer's. That moment in 1901. A lot of things went on. In December of 1901, Guillermo Marconi receives the first transatlantic radio signal sent from England to Newfoundland. On December 20th, the final spike is driven into the Mombasa Victoria Uganda Railway in what is now Kisumu, Kenya. Why does that matter to me? Because they just ceased steam operations not less than 5 years ago, and I almost made it there. Scotland Yard creates a fingerprint archive. For those of you who may know this name, a man by the name of William S. Harley drew his prototype up for a motorcycle. The Hindi Company produces its first motorcycle in 1901. They would come to be known as, anybody? The Indian Motorcycle Company. Predated Harley-Davidson by 2 years, the first American motorcycle company. I know these things. New Zealand inventor Ernst Godward invents the bobby pin. Born in 1901, Frank Zamboni. Everybody knows that name, don't you? Is anybody in this room that does not want to drive the Zamboni machine around the ice rink? I keep trying, but nobody will let me. Frank Buckles. Anybody know that name? He was born in 1901. Some of y'all ought to know that name. He lived right here. Frank Buckles was the last surviving American veteran of World War I. Passed away in 2011. Born in 1901. Clark Gable was born. One of my personal heroes was born in 1901. Zeppo Marx. I love the Marx Brothers. I can tell you right now, we can watch them movies. I've seen them 100,000 times and I still laugh like I'm unhooked. Emperor Hirohito of Japan from World War II was born this year. Gary Cooper, Chuck Taylor. You ever had fish head sneakers? I had them. PF Flyers, you know, fish heads. Okay, so maybe I'm just out there. Louis Armstrong was born. Ed Sullivan was born. George Gallup of the Gallup Poll was born in 1901. Marlena Dietrich, the German actress. And Walt Disney was born in 1901. And that's all great stuff. Something else happened in 1901 that is still going on today. You see, in 1901, electricity was still getting going. Edison had conquered how to mass produce the electric light bulb. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. He did not. He produced it mass and figured out how to make them last with a simple carbon filament. He didn't invent it. He just made it work. But in 1901, things were still going in mass production and bulbs were starting to become synonymous. Electric light. You know they gave electric bulbs out as gifts? Can you imagine that? If somebody walked into your house on Christmas Day and slid a pack of 60 waters across there and said, "Merry Christmas!" How many of them would you get hit with? In Livermore, California, the General Light Company sent a bulb manufactured in Shelby, Ohio, by the Shelby Electric Company. It was given by Dennis Bernal in 1901. Dennis owned the Livermore Power and Water Company. And he gave an electric light bulb, a 4-watt carbon filament, hand-blown common, ordinary light bulb to the fire station in Livermore, California. That's a big deal. They got their first electric light. The first light housed in the station where the hose reel was. They didn't even have a truck yet. They had an electric light. They had four men that pulled a hose reel out to the pump. And then they moved the light to another part of the station when they got their first truck. 1901, this light goes up, turns on. Evidence suggests that it has been hung in four locations. In 1970, it was moved to Station 6. Now, I just said 1970. That bulb was still burning. 1901, 1970, continuously. They were so scared in 1970 that instead of unscrewing the bulb from the socket, they got two master regulated electricians to come in that carried $1 million of insurance on each of them, and they cut the wire. And they put this thing in a cradle with baby diapers in it and all these soft cloths, and they put it in a fire truck, and they hauled that thing in a fire truck to the new fire station, or a light bulb. And they got it there, and they put the thing up, and they put it on its own power supply. It's on a backup power supply in the 70s, hung up in the roof. It was noticed in 1972 by a reporter, Mike Durston, who said in 1972 that may be the world's oldest living light bulb. And so Charles Carroll got a hold of it, and he checked it out. And in 1976, it was made official by Guinness. It is the oldest continuous burning light bulb in the world, 1901, 1976. On May 20th, 2013, I heard about this thing 2 years ago. I must confess, I've kept my eye on it. On May in 2013, it went out. And people lost their minds. Oh, the great light bulb is burned out. Oh, the world's oldest living light bulb is burned out. And so they rushed to the fire station for this little light bulb, 4-watt light bulb. They rushed to the fire station and they found that the supply had failed. They put a new supply on it and the light lit back up. And today, this morning, because I checked, that bulb has been burning for 112 years. Shining still for 112 years. One single little simple old 4-watt light bulb. It ain't got enough light to light up this podium. The light over there at Martha's piano has more wattage than that thing does. And yet there it hangs, shining every day. Do you know why? Of course you don't. I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't turn it off. Because it is said that the wattage in there is of sufficient type, and that the carbon filament in there is of sufficient type, that by not turning it off, it has continued to shine. Do you know, even when we try to turn Jesus off, he still shines. I'm driving this past week. I have been working a lot this past week, as you can well imagine. I have been everywhere putting people back in power. And I even lost power Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and it didn't come on again until Friday at 4 o'clock. Evelyn, did you lose? I know you did, Glenn and Gloria. What time did it come back on? 2:30. Oh, was it that? Well, I got to call at 4 from the power company. I've been riding around everywhere putting the lights back in, and I'm even doing a small part of it. And on Wednesday, after the storm came through, I worked in the storm on Tuesday. On Wednesday, after the storm came through, I was driving into Frederick. I went in a little bit late. I went at daylight. I was driving into Frederick, and I was going up across Braddock Mountain, and it was real foggy and nasty. And I drove up out of the top of the fog, and there was the sun. It was a hard thing to understand because people were without power. But to see those trees and that forest encased in ice and the way that sun was sparkling off of it and the beauty and freshness just above this foggy area was too much for me. It choked me up and I started thinking, I got it. The sun still shines. I've flown in airplanes. And I have been there when you've taken off from the airport. And you go up in the air. And you're in the clouds. And the next thing you know, you're 35,000 feet up. And you're looking down on the clouds. And that's neat. But to drive up out of them and see the way the sun still shines is very hopeful. We need to take a moment and remember that. In the midst of all the hard work that we do, in the midst of everything that we go through, the sun still shines. It doesn't really matter anymore if you think of it from that angle. I lost power this week. Not a good feeling for me. A lot of people lost power. Sun still shine. I had a hard week this week. We were washing dishes. And the dishwasher, that's usually quiet, but you got to get right up to about here, is now so loud that you got to sit outside the house while it's running. I know what's wrong because Saturday I tore it apart and I found 2 chicken bones in it. And I thought that was the problem. I cleaned it all out and put it all back together and announced to my lovely wife, "Man has fixed dishwasher." And turned it back on, that thing said, "Ah!" I know what's gone now. Bearing in the motor has gone. I got to tear the whole thing down, put another motor in it. That's $200. Sun still shines. I know that in times of trouble, and I want you to know this, Jesus is saying that we're the salt of the earth. Don't lose it. We're the light. Don't hide it. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to what?
Let it shine.
Let it shine. Shine. I love that song.
It's an amazing thing to me to think about. Jesus Christ never says that you're not going to be without pain, that you're not going to be without doubt, that you're not going to be without fear, that you're not going to be without turmoil, that you're not going to be without trouble, that your body's going to ache, your joints are going to hurt, you're going to sit around scratching your head going, "Why?" He's still there. He still shines. And what's more important, because He shines, He wants you to shine. He wants you to put it out there. He wants you to understand. Continue to pray for me. Continue to ask me. Continue to be within me, and I will continue to be within you. 112 years, the light bulb is still shining. That's pretty bright. Revelation chapter 1. I want you to follow along, so get there. And don't be scared because we're going into Revelations. It's not that crazy of a place. Maybe sometime I'll preach on it. You want to know here? I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of Revelations. Okay, you ready? Jesus makes himself known to John, takes his final vengeance on the world. Satan tries to rise up and destroy it. Jesus says it's the final prophecy, beats up Satan, throws him in the lake of fire, establishes his kingdom. We go to heaven. The end. That's Revelations. There's a lot more detail to it, but that's the end. Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ as God's Son. Okay, you got it? I'll never have to teach you Revelations, right? Chapter 1. Don't nobody tell my school I'm teaching Revelations that way. I'll get in so much trouble. Verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. As John was receiving this vision, a voice spoke to him. And when I turned around, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his hand he held 7 stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. Pay attention. His face was shining like the sun in all its brilliance. The sun still shines. Even after we killed him, make no mistake, he still shines. He still loves us because he knew he had to. And what he teaches us is, you want to know what salvation teaches us? That through the pain, there's still hope. That through the suffering, there's still glory. That through the trials and tribulations, there is still reward. That through everything else that we will go through, the sun still shines. That's salvation. That's the 3 days. He was born to suffer. He got beat. He died and he was rose up. Nothing that I can go through will ever compare to it. Nothing. And we know how bad I can be in the shop. We know that at one time a day, I was trying to set the head back down on the engine of a tractor, and it slipped on all the studs and mashed all 4 fingers at once. That was a lot of pain. I can tell you that right now. They still work. They can still hold a fork. I could still eat fried chicken. The sun still shines. A light bulb that is 112 years old still shines. Why? Because it's never turned off. Don't turn off Christ in everything. No matter where you're at, no matter what struggle you're in, no matter what point you're in, he still shines. He's still there. He is still 100% with you. I took my marker out when I read that joke earlier. I need to get to Psalms 112. I want to read you these words. Someday I'll be a real good preacher and make sure I keep my marks in place. Psalm 112. Verse 4. Now listen. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. You know what that verse says? The sun still shines. Even in the darkness, there's still light. The power goes out. We have no light. We have no heat. We have no water. I have sons. It's 7 o'clock at night. I figured, well, ain't nothing else to do. The boys are going to bunk down in the bed with Wendy. I'm just going to sleep in my easy chair, pull a couple blankets on. The temperature in the house the next morning got down to 53 degrees, which is all right with me. I can handle that. So I figured I'll just go to sleep. There ain't nothing else to do. But no, there was still light in the darkness because I have sons. And my sons have flashlights. And every 20 minutes, they were doing a security patrol. As Daddy was in that chair asleep, wake up, Daddy, security check. We need to relax sometimes and remember that at times our path is going to be hard. Our lessons are going to be challenging. We're going to be told things that we don't like because God loves us that much. We're going to read things in the Bible that are going to hurt us from Jesus' own words because it's at that time that we need to hear and understand that verse, that lesson, because Jesus loves us. But the sun still shines. And that just right here, where the fog and the trouble is, where everything else is, just right here, sun's still up there. And when we get to it, we'll see it. I read this story, pretty good story, talking about letting the light shine out. It says, I'm a mother of 3, ages 14, 12, and 3, and have recently completed a college degree. The last class I had to take was a class on sociology. I'm going to just kind of paraphrase from here. It said the teacher was trying to inspire qualities that she wished every human being was graced with, and one of them was a project called Smile. You ever seen that bumper sticker? Smile. It makes everybody wonder what you're up to. I love smiling because I make people uncomfortable sometimes when I smile. I had to take a physical last week or the week before last for my CDL license. And I sat across the counter from the lady, and she looked at me for a minute, and she did something wrong, and she uttered a cuss word out. And I said, and I smiled at her, and she looked across, and she said, "I shouldn't have said that. God probably is listening." I said, "Well, I know a pastor that is." And her face went white. I couldn't resist. She goes, "Are you a preacher?" And I went, "Yes." And she goes, "Well, I go to church." By the way, in case you're wondering, I passed my physical. My blood pressure was a little bit up because I had to take it. It was 118 over 72. I know. Believe you me, when a doctor walked in the room to check me out, he looked at the paperwork and he looked at me and he looked at the paperwork and he looked at me. And I said, "It's okay to say it, doc. I look like a walking heart attack." He goes, I ought to take it again just to be sure. I said, "Well, you can." And then he did that thing, you know, when you take the physical, they want you to, they put their hands on top of your fist because they want to check your dexterity. And they say, "Now, I'm going to push down. You try and lift me up." I said, he goes, "Don't worry. I'm handling." He pushed down, and then when he come up off the ground, he said, okay. Smile. The class was asked to go out and smile at three people and document their reactions. You ought to do that this week. I'm a friendly person, and I always smile and say hello anyways, so I thought this would be a piece of cake, literally. Soon after we were assigned the project, my husband and my youngest son and I found ourselves at McDonald's on a crisp March morning. This is our quality time with just my youngest. We're standing in line waiting to be served when all of a sudden everybody began to back away. Even my husband did. And I didn't move an inch. I became panicked, that overwhelming feeling. And I looked to see why everybody had moved. And as I turned around, I smelled that dirty body smell. And there were standing behind me two poor homeless men. I looked down at the short gentleman close to me, and he was smiling. His beautiful sky blue eyes were full of God's light. As he searched for acceptance, he said, "Good day." He counted a few coins he had been clutching. The man next to him was fumbling with his hands. I realized that the second man was mentally challenged. I held my tears as I stood there with him. The young lady at the counter asked him what they wanted. He said, "Coffee is all, miss. That's all they could afford. They just wanted to sit somewhere nice and warm and enjoy a cup of coffee." She says, "I felt it. The compulsion was just too great. I almost have reached out and embraced the little man with the blue eyes. Then I noticed all the eyes on me in the restaurant were judging my every action, and I smiled. And I asked the young lady behind the counter, give them whatever they want, give them breakfast meals. Put them on a separate tray. And then I walked around to the table where the men had chosen to rest. And I put the tray down and I laid my hands on the blue-eyed gentleman's ice-cold hands. And he looked at me crying and said, thank you. And I leaned over and said, I didn't do this for you. God is working through me to give you hope. The light. I started to cry as I walked away to join my husband and son. And when I sat down, my husband smiled at me and he said, this is why God gave you to me. Honey, you give hope. We held hands for a moment. And at that time, we knew that only because of grace we were able to give. That day showed me the pure light of God's sweet love. The sun still shines. Amen. I returned to college on the last evening of the class with a story in hand, turned my project in. My instructor read it and asked if she could read it in front of the class. And as she did and began to read, I knew that in my own way, I had touched people at McDonald's, my son, the instructor, and every soul. All Jesus wants is to shine that light through us. That's all. He wants to remind you, the sun still shines. Look how gray it is out there. You think the sun didn't come up today? Of course it did. It's still shining. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what troubles you're finding, it's still shining. From 1901 to 2014, that bulb has never been turned off. Perhaps one day it'll burn out. I don't know. It's fun for me to watch it. But I know one thing, that from the day you accepted Christ until you go home, don't turn him off. Let him just keep shining. Because he's still there. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray.
Our gracious Father, as we stop for a moment and smile and breathe in, I love the words of the song, like the fragrance after the rain. Those are the words. When we can say Jesus and smile, we know that we are filled with that light. And this is regardless of the fact that we're sinners, that we have all do, have, will fall short of that salvation, that glory, but you gave it to us. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. The simple revelation is the sun still shines and will never turn off. Put that in our hearts, Father, to fill up. And let it be for us to take against the world as we go out the doors in our daily life, that we would smile, that we would let the sun shine, that in our moments of trials and troubles, during prayers, if we don't think the prayers are being heard or being answered, then we need to remind ourselves the sun still shines. And that our most powerful tool of prayer is being heard. Bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song. That's a good one, really. It's number 487, Room at the Cross. And I encourage you as we prepare to stand and sing this last hymn, number 487, that the prayer bench is wide open. If you need me, I'll pray with you. If you just need to come up here and let it lay, come up to the prayer bench. If you need to know Christ, come get me. Let us stand now and turn to hymn number 487, Room at the Cross for You. Well, go back and tell your mama.